Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
First pitch into right field on a line right at Grossman. That ball was hit well, and the Sox will fall a run short in Detroit this July 4th.
The call on NBC Sports Chicago as the Sox drop one to the Detroit Tigers. Rami Makhlouf with you on 670 The Score on a Monday afternoon. Hope you're all either still enjoying or recovering from your 4th of July weekend. Going to talk some NBA Finals with Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel coming up at 2:20 as they get set to tip off Bucks and Suns tomorrow, but joining us right now to talk about those White Sox and kind of continue the conversation we were having last segment. You hear him on the Sox Machine podcast. Pleasure to welcome in now Josh Nelson. Josh, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Rami. You had quite the party there in Milwaukee this past weekend.
Yeah, you saw that, huh?
Oh, I did. I grew up in Wisconsin, so I got a lot of friends right now over my Facebook. It's like, fear the deer, and it's like, wow, it's come so far from Vin Baker and Glenn Robinson that the Milwaukee Bucks are in the NBA Finals.
I am not proud of my actions that people can see. At Rami is tweeting on Twitter. That's R-A-M-I-E is tweeting. I don't know what happened, Josh. I'm a guy who does not take his shirt off in public, since he brought it up. I don't have the confidence or the body positivity to do that. But my guy Bart Winkler, who hosts the morning show here on 1250 AM The Fan, where I host the afternoon show, he has a propensity to take his shirt off when he's happy. And he was with me that night. And the Bucks won the Eastern Conference Championship. And all he had to say was, "We need the shirt off. Take the shirt off." And I was like Hulk Hogan. It just came right off. There was a champagne shower. It was madness. And I don't even know what happened, Josh. I can't be held accountable for anything that took place on Saturday night.
Well, I got to say, the White Sox will be visiting Milwaukee. There's a bunch of us that will be making our way there. So maybe some Sox fans will do what you do and take their shirts off after the White Sox win on Saturday.
I hope I don't take mine off again, but that's a discussion for another day. Let's talk about the Sox team. And I was talking before the break about the tweet that you shot out yesterday, and I saw it, and it got me to thinking about Lucas Giolito with the spin rates being way, way down since Major League Baseball started this crackdown on the sticky stuff. I assume just based on the tweet, you're looking at him with the same side eye that I'm looking at him with right now, Josh.
What makes a villain great is that if they are right with their morals or their objections. And I have to say that Josh Donaldson is right, White Sox fans. The RPM drop is very noticeable since June 20th for Lucas Giolito. And in his post-game press conference, I think he understands that he can't get away living in the middle of the zone if these are the quality of pitches that he's going to be throwing without using whatever he was using before June 20th. The curveball spin rate, he barely throws that pitch, but that's 500 RPMs below normal that he was throwing before June 20th. His fastball RPM is below 200 RPMs now. His slider RPM is about 250 RPMs off before June 20th. These are incredibly noticeable, and they have been consistent over the last three starts. So you can't ignore this. Now, for Giolito, you got the entire second half of the season. You have to work with pitching coach Ethan Katz to overcome this. And Giolito said that the next time he goes out, he wants to focus better on command. He can't live in the middle of the zone. I agree with him. So he's got to live either on the inside corner or the outside corner. His changeup likes to fade in into the right-handed hitter. So when you watch Giolito throw the changeup against righties in his next start, it has to hit the inside corner. It has to jam them. And his fastball has to live at the top of the zone, or he needs to locate it on the outside corner away from the hitter so they can't barrel it up as easily as they have. Because in his first two starts after June 20th, they were good. Not great, but they were good. This last start against Detroit, it was really bad. I mean, he gave up 10 hits, which was the combined amount of hits that he allowed in his previous two starts. He gave up five, six runs, which equal to the amount that he gave up in his previous two starts. He knows it was a bad start yesterday. Pitchers have bad starts throughout the season. So we'll see on how Giolito recovers, but he needs to make an adjustment. I guess the positive is that he's not the only pitcher. Boy, if we were in New York, Rami, we'd be talking about Gerrit Cole.
Right.
Gerrit Cole has had drastic drops since June 20th. So there's a huge collection of pitchers right now scratching their head, looking themselves in the mirror and trying to figure out what adjustment that they have to make in the second half. And it's just not Giolito. It's also Dylan Cease, who is on the mound tonight. And Cease has had just the same types of drops as Giolito has had since June 20th. So I'm curious to see on how Cease adjusts for this start tonight against the Twins.
And whether we're talking about Giolito or Gerrit Cole or Dylan Cease or anybody else, and whether we're talking about spin rates being down or traditional production being down or some combination thereof, is it unfair? Are we all looking at this through the prism of the idea that this crackdown on sticky substances is front of mind right now? So every time we see a pitcher stumble, we're going, oh, was that guy doing it? Is that fair of us to do, Josh? Or did Major League Baseball and did pitchers put themselves in this position by letting this thing run so rampant for so long?
Well, I think the question for me is, can you still be effective after the crackdown? Because when I look at data for Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon, there is nothing noticeable. I mean, they still remain consistent after June 20th, which suggests to me they weren't using anything to aid as far as their pitches. So again, it's not everyone, but for the, you know, the difficult questions that Lucas Giolito has to answer is, okay, what is the result of this RPM drop? He may not answer that question truthfully, which is fine. That's his prerogative. But moving forward, if you're going to continue to believe and make everyone else believe in the media and White Sox fans that you were still the guy in 2019 and 2020 that was the staff ace of the Chicago White Sox, he clearly needs to make an adjustment because the quality of his pitches that he's throwing are not at the same level that they were before the June 20th crackdown. So we'll see. These are really tough questions that many starting pitchers in Major League Baseball have to answer. And the only way that they can prove that they can go back to the way that they have performed without using any other substances is prove it on the field. He can say whatever he wants to say. We can continue to analyze or maybe sometimes overanalyze what we're seeing with the pitch data. But until Giolito makes the necessary adjustments to get the results that he's aiming for, which is someone that can go six or seven innings, someone that can strike out 10 per nine or even greater than that. I mean, his strikeout rate is down 5%, Rami, from 2020 right to 2021. That's significant. Those are the things we're going to have to see if Giolito can overcome. But with Giolito, I do have confidence because he was the worst pitcher in the American League in 2018. He made the necessary adjustments to get to the level that he is today. So I have confidence that he can figure out how to overcome this. We just need to see it.
Talking with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine podcast here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday afternoon. A bigger picture question I think begs to be answered when we talk about this, Josh, which is that I would think with spin rates and velocity going down across Major League Baseball because of this crackdown and sticky stuff, you're going to see offensive production go up, and I think you're going to see pitching numbers as a whole go down. And so do we have to recalibrate what we consider a good pitcher in this league? Should we expect an uptick in ERAs and WHIP and all the other statistics that we look at as we watch spin rates across Major League Baseball go down?
Well, if we don't, I think front offices definitely are. As we get closer to the trade deadline, they're probably doing the same thing that we're doing, going to Baseball Savant, doing a mass data download, and see, all right, who's been impacted the most. If a pitcher that we're targeting before the deadline isn't throwing the same type of RPMs before June 20th, do we still want this guy? I think those are the types of questions that teams are going to be asking themselves. And yeah, there's ebbs and flows with every season, and you never know. Major League Baseball could also just change the baseball during the All-Star break. That would be another wrench in the process. I wouldn't put it past them. That's the thing about Major League Baseball. It keeps you on your toes. And sometimes it's slow to adjust and you wonder, wow, what is this turnaround all about? And then there are really smart people that dig into the data and then they find something that's been happening for a month and then we have to readjust our sights. So I agree with you. In a month, we may have to lower the bar when it comes to saying what is a quote-unquote good pitcher, and we may have to rise the bar, or I should say raise the bar off the floor for hitters after the month of April, which was like the lowest batting average in many people's lifetimes for Major League Baseball. Now we're starting to see the uptick in offense. We're seeing it with the White Sox. They are now figuring out a way to score 5-plus runs where they had a terrible 2-week stretch in June where they struggled to score 3 runs. So maybe Rob Manfred's going to get his wish, Ronnie, and we're going to start to see more offense across the league.
I wasn't planning on talking about this, but you brought up Rob Manfred and the inconsistency in the baseballs, and it's really my greatest pet peeve in the whole world of sports, Josh. That can you imagine? In the NFL, like 1 year, all the quarterbacks reporting to camp and are like, you know, something's weird about these footballs this year. They don't feel the same as they did last year. And I remember, I think it was 2009. The NBA switched basketballs. The official basketball of the NBA had changed due to some business partnership, and the basketballs were different. They felt different when guys showed up the next year. And literally overnight, the NBA restocked every basketball in the league to make sure that they were up to the standard that these players had gotten used to. How in the world, with all the resources that Major League Baseball has at its fingertips, Josh, do we not have consistency year in and year out with the very thing that the sport is named after?
That is a fantastic question, because they own Rawlings. They
Thank
own
you.
The company that makes the baseball. What's even mind-blowing is that the baseball is different in AAA than it is in the major leagues.
Oh.
So if you call up a pitcher from AAA and they go on the mound for maybe, let's say it's the first time, it's their major league debut, they are holding a much different baseball than they are used to throwing in the minor leagues. And that's why I'm impressed when guys do throw well in their opening start or in their debut start in the major leagues, because you're working with a different baseball against a whole different caliber of hitters. And that's why so many guys, I think, fail right now in the major leagues. But it is mind-blowing. It is a big headache. I'm sure this will be a point of contention during the CBA talks as well, because this is where you got hitters and pitchers kind of pointing the fingers at each other. And ultimately, I think they're just going to stop and point those fingers back at the owners in the league and say, in this next CBA, you got to promise the quality of the baseball is going to remain the same for the next 4 to 5 years and you're not continue to change it on us. Because I don't know why they manipulate the ball. It
drives me crazy. It drives me absolutely nuts.
Yeah, we've gone from super bouncy ball to a dead ball to start the year. Now you ban substances, so pitchers can't use any adhesives or sticky stuff to help generate more spin. And now I don't have confidence it's going to be the same baseball, Rodney, in the second half. I really don't. I don't put it past baseball to re-enter the super bouncy ball.
Yeah, I don't blame you either. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were playing a different baseball in the second half of the season. The other Sox discussion I was having earlier on the show, talking with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine podcast here on 670 The Score, Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday afternoon. Yesterday when I saw the All-Star announcements and that it was Rodon, Lynn, and Hendricks for the White Sox, I went, man, who would have thought? It wasn't Abreu, it's not Anderson or Robert or Eloy or Giolito. It's Rodon, Lynn, and Hendricks. And it really got me to thinking about how the White Sox got here, the road that they've taken to be first place in the AL Central with a 6-game lead on the Cleveland Indians. And it's a really unexpected path that they've taken to get here. And when I see that, my question is, how sustainable is what the White Sox are doing? That it's not the household names and the guys that you expected that expected to carry them here, but more the unsung heroes that have gotten them here. You wonder how long they can keep that up. Do you have that concern running through your head?
I don't for Lance Lynn. I don't for Liam Hendricks, because these guys have been proven to pitch at this level the last couple of years. Carlos Rodon, it's always injuries. Can he stay healthy? And this has been one of the greatest turnarounds I've ever seen of a White Sox player in my lifetime, because the dude could not get anyone out in game three in 2020. He was awful in Cleveland last year when the White Sox were trying to win the division. He was just not good in 2020. He wasn't hitting the same type of velocity that he's hitting today. He didn't have the same type of effectiveness on his slider like he has today. So all the credit in the world goes to Carlos Rodon after being non-tendered a contract. None of the other 29 teams wanted him. He came back, signed a $3 million deal, which was half of what he would have earned in arbitration. And the dude is an all-star. And his price tag, because he's a free agent after this season, is going way up. And I'm sure his agent, Scott Boras, is loving this right now. Carlos Rodon's made himself a lot of money, but for the second half of this season, I do think it is sustainable for the White Sox starting pitching, and I do think it's sustainable that Liam Hendricks will continue to be one of the top closers in the American League, if not all of Major League Baseball. What the White Sox are hoping is that reinforcements are coming in Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert sooner than later. Eloy Jimenez could be playing in rehab games in a couple of weeks before the trade deadline, which would be a huge boost for the White Sox. Offensively, it's can the offense help the starting pitching? Because if the starting pitching can keep high-powered offenses like Boston and Houston in the postseason to 4 or 5 runs, which is still impressive because those are good offenses, can the White Sox offense go toe-to-toe against those high-powered teams? Today, no. But in August and September, if Jimenez and Robert come, and if Rick Hahn can add another bat before the trade deadline, then that answer might be yes. And that's where White Sox fans can get really excited. And instead of just setting their sights on, hey, let's win the American League Central, they can set their sights on trying to win the American League pennant.
And that's where I have a question mark hanging over my head as to what is the next logical step with this baseball team, because I'm the window is just opening, Josh, and I'm not sure that I want to push all my chips to the center of the table when the window is just opening, especially if it's going to be some kind of rental at a position where they already have a guy. They're just waiting to come back. I have about a minute for you to answer this question. Sorry to throw that at you.
It is complicated, but what makes it really complicated is that Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon are free agents after this season. You have Michael Kopech waiting in the wings. He can take one of their spots in 2022 and beyond. But you don't have another Michael Kopech to take if you lose out on both Rodon and Lynn. So this might be the best starting rotation the White Sox have in their contention window, which might force Rick Hahn to push in not all of his chips, but more chips into the middle than expected, because this might be their best chance of winning a World Series, not knowing if Lynn and Rodon are going to be on the team next year and beyond.
That's Josh Nelson. He is the host of the Sox Machine podcast. Follow him on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh. And my guest for the last few minutes here on 670 The Score. If you see me shirtless again on Twitter, just avert your eyes. Just avert your eyes, Josh, all right?
No problem. Fear the deer. Go Bucks.
There is Josh Nelson joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We'll talk about those Bucks and those Suns in the NBA Finals. Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he's going to join me right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday afternoon on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Rami Makhlouf with you on a Monday afternoon right here on 670 The Score. Hope you're all either still enjoying or recovering from your 4th of July weekends. I'm broadcasting from The Score Hyundai Studios, which is presented by your local Hyundai dealers. While I was talking to Josh Nelson, more texts were coming in on the White Sox and on Lucas Giolito specifically. Going to talk with Jim Ozarski about the NBA Finals of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here in just a minute. But this from the 815, what you could see next by pitchers is called siping, much like snow tires and boat shoes make very small slits on their fingers and thumbs that heal. And I guess that would help them put more spin on the ball. That'd be going a long ways to put more spin on the baseball, cutting slits in your finger. But hey, man, we're talking about millions of dollars and World Series titles on the line. I wouldn't be surprised, not one bit. This from the 708 says, Gerrit Cole was struggling before the ban. And that's very true. And that's why I don't know how to handle all of this when we're talking about what essentially is a new era in Major League Baseball. This is very much like after the steroids era in baseball, where anytime anybody in that time, right after Major League Baseball cracked down on PEDs, who saw an offensive dip in their production, we were all going, wonder what that guy was doing before this. And that wasn't always fair. It's baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. Sorry to get all cliche on you. And over the course of that, there are going to be dips, there are going to be peaks, and there are going to be valleys, and guys' production is just not going to be consistent over the course of the season. So while I'm sure, because they said 80, 90% of pitchers were using some sort of banned sticky substance leading up to this crackdown, I'm sure a lot of this is due to the crackdown. A lot, and when we're talking about the decrease in spin rate and RPMs, when we're talking about a step back in terms of traditional production, when you look at a guy's ERA or whatever it is you're measuring a pitcher by now in 2021, a lot of it, yes, probably is the crackdown on sticky stuff, and we're seeing guys who had an unfair advantage before who lost that unfair advantage suddenly. But do we do that with every guy? Not just Lucas Giolito, but like the texter just said, Gerrit Cole, who's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, before we even heard about any sort of crackdown, he was struggling a little bit. By the way, Adam, we're not going to get Jim Ozarski on. He just texted me, said, sorry, man, I got to bail. I'm getting pulled in another direction by arena security and the NBA. So we will not be talking with Jim Ozarski about the NBA Finals of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But I can talk a little bit about those NBA Finals, Adam. Did you see my Twitter timeline at all, what Josh Nelson was referring to? That went down on Saturday night here.
I did not. I did not. But that's like, as the aforementioned wedding I was at, I was not on social media like at okay. all most of Saturday. So no, I did not.
Right.
I'm looking through it right now, though. I'm gonna find it.
It's not a pretty picture, man.
Oh yeah,
but
here we go. Yeah. Okay.
You try. You just saw it, huh? Is that me with my shirt off? Is that funny to you? Huh,
oh, Adam? All the memes that like the roller coaster one. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there was some good content to come out of that. I challenge anybody to come up here to the Deer District, man, and not get caught up in the hysteria that is going on out there during Bucks game. I don't care who you're a fan of, and I'll be honest with you, Adam, and the rest of the listening audience in Chicago at 670 The Score. Like, I'm born and raised Chicago. I bleed Chicago, diehard Cubs, Bears, Bulls fan. It's in my DNA, all right? It is woven into me. And the Bulls are still my team, dude. But the Bucks, they're my side piece, Adam, and it is a torrid, passionate love affair. I'm really feeling it with this team, and especially out there in the Deer District. It is some scene that they got out there.
I think we all have that side team that we get crazy about, even though, I mean, you have a real, like, actual reason, you know, being in Milwaukee and living in the whole hysteria right now. But I have a love affair with the Jacksonville Jaguars that I don't really know how to explain, other than it's a really bad joke from college that got way out of control.
Why and how?
So my friends and me in college. So when I was in college, the Jags were, you know, the worst team in the league.
Sure. Yeah.
And we just started this running joke about how, oh yeah, we're Jags fans. Like, this is a Jags fan house, blah, blah, blah. We said it so much that we actually became Jags fans. And now we legitimately root for the team. Like, when they made that run in the playoffs a few years ago, I had friends from college come over and watch the game every week. I was actually a little devastated when they lost in the AFC championship. I was like, I don't know why I feel so devastated. I didn't know I cared this much.
Oh yeah, if the Bucks don't finish the job here, man, I'm gonna be devastated. And I didn't think I'd ever be devastated by any team outside of Chicago. And I didn't think I'd ever achieve the highs that I've reached in rooting for and following this. I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't sure if I was, like, a buddy of mine texted me yesterday. He was like, man, you're going real hard on this Bucks stuff. You still a Bulls guy? And I texted him the same thing that I just said to you. Like, yeah, the Bulls are still my main squeeze, dude. It's just they and I'll go back to them as soon as they give me – I'll go back home as soon as the Bulls give me a good reason to go back home. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the Bulls have been very, very bad to me for a long time, and the Bucks have been very, very good to me for a long time. And I don't know if that rubs people the wrong way in Chicago or not, but I can't help it. And like I said, I would challenge anyone, no matter what team you root for, to come up here, go in that – get in that Deer District – during a playoff game, get in the middle of that hysteria and that insanity, and I guarantee you, you're probably wearing a Bucks shirt by the end. You don't even know where it came from, but you're probably wearing a Bucks shirt or a Bucks hat, or like me, no shirt by the end of your night. But try to keep a shirt on and make it a – I'm telling you, man, it's a fun team. And, Adam, I haven't lived in Chicago in a while, but the only thing – that I could kind of compare it to what they got going on in the Deer District. Because think about this. The arena fits about 17,000 people. And then the Deer District itself fits about 15,000 on a normal day. But for the playoffs, they've expanded it and put more big screens around the Deer District. So they have a 25,000-person capacity on game nights outside the stadium. And if it's a home game, another 17,000 in the stadium. So you're talking about 40, and between the bars and the restaurants that are surrounding the Deer District, somewhere between 40 and 50,000 people all converging on like a 4-square-mile portion in downtown Milwaukee. And it is just the biggest party that you've ever seen. I had the Bucks chief marketing officer on my show last week, and I said, dude, what you guys have created out there, it's like a combination of a sporting event and a music fest. It is, and everything that goes into a music fest, including all the aromas and clouds that may come out of a music fest. It is insanity. And the only thing I can kind of compare it to is when the Cubs are real, real good, Adam, like when there are playoff runs and World Series games going on and people just gather outside the walls of Wrigley without even anything to do or to watch up there. I guess they did put up some TV screens and other monitors when they were in the World Series, but just everyone who's a fan of that team in that city converging on one small part of the city. It's insane, and it's impossible not to get caught up in, man. It is a crazy, crazy good thing that they've built out here.
It does sound pretty phenomenal. I'll have to try to check. I doubt I'm able to do it for the finals here, but like that does sound like something I'm interested in. And you know, like I said, like I'm not a huge like NBA fan. I mean, obviously, you know, sure, we have the Bulls on the score here, so of course, sure, I know what's going on with the team, but I've never been like an overly big NBA guy. So my loyalty is I'm not saying I'm going to leave the Bulls. I guess they're my favorite NBA team, but I mean, I'm willing to be swooned by others, if you will.
And this'll do it. I'm telling you, this'll do it, man. I'm happy I'm standing today. It was that type of night, man. And really, I'm glad more than anything that my voice is functioning today, because I was in the Deer District where they knocked off the Nets a couple weeks ago, and I did a shift on the score the next day and then had a full week of shows up here in Milwaukee starting on Monday. And man, by Friday, multiple people throughout the week, including Cody Decker, who you'll hear tonight right here on 670 The Score before Cubs baseball after Ant Heron, who takes over for me at 3 o'clock. Multiple people, including Cody, Adam, said I sounded like Bobcat Goldthwait that entire week.
That's so hilarious.
This time I restrained myself from screaming until the second half, and then alcohol and excitement won over, and then I screamed my brains out for the entire second half. But here I sit, full-voiced and ready to go with you until 3 o'clock on 670 The Score. As I said, Ant Heron takes over for me at that time, and then it's Cody Decker, and then it's Cubs baseball. All that coming up on Chicago Sports Talk Radio Station, AM 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, as you heard Big Voice Guy say there. Ant Heron coming up at 3 o'clock. He's followed by Cody Decker, which takes you right up to Cubs baseball. I saw Ant tweet during the break, jam-packed show. He'll have Corey Provis, Lewis Johnson, and he's got his 10 most combustible Chicago athletes of this century for 4th of July weekend. Get it? Combustible, because fireworks combust. I don't know about you, Adam. I'm never clever like that. I always look back after the fact. I'm like, oh, I should have done something 4th of July rated, shouldn't I? I should have done something cute and tied in 4th of July somehow. But that's just, that's never where my mind is at. Does your brain work like that? Because mine very much does not.
Sometimes it does. Like if we were, you know, we did a show yesterday, I would have said, oh, yeah, absolutely, let's do some 4th of July related stuff. But I mean, like, I know that
the
people are pretty much recognizing like the today is like kind of the company recognized holiday. I know, but you know, I mean, it's that was yesterday, and we're looking forward today. Looking forward.
Like what could we have? Let's not steal Ann's topic. What could we have done 4th of July related? Like tying in fireworks. Like I don't even know. Like what athlete has provided the most fireworks for? See, this is how bad I am at this, Adam. I can't even come up with something right now.
We didn't have to tie in sports. I mean, we could have just done straight up like best 4th of July themed movies, which of course Independence Day is number one. And then, you know, we can't.
Yeah, that's true. Grody and Rosenblum spent half an hour talking about their favorite classic rock concerts. We don't have to keep this sports related at all, really. But I'll go back to sports for the final few minutes of the show. I don't know if this dead horse has been beaten or not, but I haven't been on the air since it seems things have gotten serious in terms of the Bears potentially moving out of Soldier Field and out to the site of Arlington Racetrack in Arlington Heights, Illinois. And I was reading Chris Emma's piece at 670 The Score yesterday talking about what the financial penalties would be for the Bears leaving Soldier Field, which starting in 2026 would be $84 million that they'd have to pay out for skipping out on the lease early that runs until 2033. And then after that, it's $74 million in 2027, $63.8 million in 2028. And it goes down every year until if and when they waited until 2032, it would be about $11 million a penalty that they'd have to pay for skipping out on that lease early. And Chris says, and I've seen others in the Chicago sports media landscape say that that is not a price tag that would prevent the Bears from moving to Arlington Heights and the former site of Arlington Racetrack, if that is indeed what they decide that they want to do. And I don't know where most people land on this. I don't know how y'all feel about the prospect of the Chicago Bears not actually playing in Chicago. Feel free to chime in. Still plenty of time for you to get in on a Monday afternoon with Rami Makhlouf at 312-644-6767. That's the number if you want to give me a call or drop a text in the Rosen Hyundai text line. But I don't care all that much if they did do it. I don't get me wrong. I'd prefer that they stay in the confines of Chicago. That would be great. I love Chicago. I hope to one day move back to Chicago myself and live there full time and right there in the city. I'm not a suburbs guy. I like city life. I like going into the city for big sporting events. I love driving into Wrigleyville for a Cubs game at Wrigley Field. I like going down to the South Side for a Sox game at Guaranteed Rate Field. I like driving down Lakeshore Drive to go to a Bears game at Soldier Field. I enjoy it. You don't, Adam.
It's terrible to get to. The traffic is awful. Like, I like driving on Lakeshore Drive when there's not a ton of traffic. I think it's great view of the lake and the skyline, all that. But it's terrible if you're going to a Bears game because the traffic is bad. Even if you where I'm at right now in the Prudential Building downtown I typically, if I'm going to a Bears game and it's a night game and I'm here on Sunday, I'll just walk from here. It's about a mile or so, maybe a little over. Even that kind of sucks. There's no good way to get there without dealing. I mean, obviously, there's no matter where you're going to have to deal with the thousands of people, but there's just no good way in and out of there. And I feel like I understand that like Soldier Field has, it's got the historic columns. They've been there forever. I get that all the Chicago sports teams actually play in the city. And I think that some fans really like that. Who cares? They don't have to, it's not a big deal.
So you're with me that it's not a big deal if they did move outside the confines of
Chicago. I think it makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. I think they should have done this a long time ago.
Adam, you're right about Soldier Field. I understand the history that is there. I understand the fact that it's a monument and a tribute to fallen soldiers and veterans of war for this country. And I've had some great moments at Soldier Field, man. It in a sentimental way, it does hold a special place in my heart, and I think it does for a lot of Bears fans. But let's go back to where we started this show this afternoon and talking about the Chicago Cubs and trying to remove the sentimentality from how you feel about those guys, that core of guys that brought home a World Series for Cubs fans 5 years ago, and that I would irrationally probably give them all lifetime contracts. Irrationally, I would love if the Bears could stay within the confines of Chicago and if Soldier Field could be their home forever. But let's be real about what it is. Let's remove the sentimentality from it for a second. And the actual football stadium itself, by NFL standards, is kind of an embarrassment, man. I hate to put it that way, but the notion that Chicago, the third largest market in the entire country, has the second smallest capacity in the NFL with a max of 61,500 just doesn't make sense, man. And you look at the condition of that field on a week-to-week basis, and if they had a college game or a soccer game or a battle of the bands during the week leading up to a Bears game at Soldier Field, and that sod is just tore the hell up, man. It's not up to standards for NFL players to go out there and risk their joints and limbs trying to run on a field that's just not up to the standard that we see around the rest of this league. And at the end of the day, while I, for sentimental reasons, would like the Chicago Bears to stay in Chicago or even at Soldier Field if you could make it work somehow, for practical reasons, the tax money and the revenue for all the businesses around a stadium, I would like that money to stay right there in the city. But again, some pretty hefty penalties if the Bears do leave early, going into the pockets of the city of Chicago, starting with around $84 million if they leave by 2026, which they say is the earliest that the Bears could have a new stadium up and running in Arlington Heights or anywhere else. At the end of the day, when I go to a game, any game or any event, here's what I want to know. Adam was talking about this a second ago. What's the commute like? Is it going to be not easy? It's never going to be easy when you have that many people converging on one location, but is it going to be relatively easy for me to get in and out? Can I find parking? Is it going to be affordable? What's the game day experience going to be like? Is the facility up to a standard that shows Chicago well and is up to the standard of what Chicago should be as the third largest market in the country and the fourth largest market in the NFL? Does it meet the standard and the bar that we should be setting as a city of this size? And does it provide the Bears an opportunity through the revenue that comes through a stadium to be competitive with the rest of the league? And when I say that, I don't just mean putting together a roster and spending the money on personnel, but on infrastructure, on the buildings that these guys go and train in, on the buildings that Bears employees go and work in, on all the resources that go into scouting and the staff that goes into scouting and coaching. I want the Bears to have everything state of the art at the top of their game. And the reality is, when you're playing in a stadium that has the second smallest capacity in the league, that's just not all that realistic for the Bears to do that. You're right, Adam. It makes total sense for the Bears to move out of Soldier Field. And if it's not going to be Soldier Field, like, is there a huge, I would like them to stay in the city, but is there a big empty plot of land somewhere that the Bears can raise or tear things down and build another stadium? I don't see it. If it's not going to be Soldier Field, given the layout of the modern city of Chicago in 2021, I don't see where else you can put a stadium. And so it's probably going to have to be a suburb like in Arlington Heights or somewhere out there.
Yeah, there's not really anywhere in the city that I could think of for them to realistically build a stadium without, you know, tearing up neighborhoods. I mean, like, look, if they want to, I don't think it would be dumb if you're the Bears to, even if they have to break the lease or if they want to stay through their lease before they go to a different stadium, whatever, I don't know why you would renew that lease when you have this opportunity somewhere else to expand, to build a better stadium, because you can't really expand the stadium where it's at considering what's around the field. You got museums, you got music venue, you got a music venue out there too. Like, it's, you can't, if you do expand and you're expanding into the parking lot and there's already not enough parking for the damn stadium. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to stay there, because imagine, like, there's no reason the Chicago Bears shouldn't have at least an 80,000 person stadium. Like, at least.
Yeah.
That should be the bare minimum for any NFL stadium, really, especially in the third largest market in the country. So if you move to Arlington Heights and that huge space out there, I think just the infield at Arlington Park, I was talking about this with a buddy, I think just the infield is already like as big as, is already like bigger than the footprint of Soldier Field right now. So you have so much potential out there, and you can build up the area around it and create this huge atmosphere. Like, I think the Bears do a good job of the actual game day atmosphere.
Agreed.
Like being in the stadium is fun. The fans get into the game. So like Bears fans just in general, especially if the team's good, like the vibe is really is awesome. But the stadium itself is give or take, you know.
And from the outside, after the renovations, it's kind of an eyesore, man. And I don't know if this was a realistic possibility, but when they did those renovations, maybe they should have just tore the whole thing down and started from scratch. I don't know if that's going to offend or upset or insult some people, but that's probably what should have been done way back when, and it's probably about due time for the Bears to go ahead and find a new home. My thanks to Evan Altman of Cubs Insider for joining me, Josh Nelson, host of the Sox Machine podcast, and Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Even though he couldn't join me, Jim's a good guy, and I know if he could have, he would have. Also, thanks to everybody out there for listening, and thanks to Adam Studzinski for producing up a fine, fine show for me this afternoon. Ant Heron coming up, and he'll be followed by Cody Decker, and Cody is followed by Chicago Cubs baseball. All that still to come right here on Chicago Sports Talk Radio Station, AM 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.